Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Andy Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week?
Doing good, Jimmy. How are you? Good to see you.
Good to see you also. And you know what? It just dawned on me. If you recall our conversation from last week, we were commenting, or I commented on the fact that we were both wearing our golf shirts. And I said that must mean we're each heading out golfing. You said, not necessarily. You always wear a golf shirt as you are today.
Golf shirt.
Andy, what am I wearing?
T-shirt. No golfing for Jimmy.
Well, later today it will happen, but standard gear. You were right a week ago when you said Jim wears a T-shirt under normal circumstances. And once more, Andrew, you are correct.
Yeah, just remember that as we continue to do these shows and chat about things where you're like, well, I'm not sure I'm correct. You're correct, Andy. You're correct, Andy.
So I should just practice that. You're right, Andy. You're right, Andy. We'll see. We'll see as we keep going. All right. The big story this week, Andy, has been about Brendan Sorsby.
Everything in college football is about Brendan Sorsby this week.
It really is. Now, it's for a couple of reasons. One is it's a fairly slow week in college football, although it's recruiting time and a lot of official visits. We talked about earlier this week's show with Mike Villagrana. We talked about, you know, Penn State's weekend. They had, by all accounts, a really good weekend. But Sorsby's story has dominated the news. If for those who are unaware, transfer quarterback, he started at Indiana originally, went to Cincinnati, where he was a starter and a star there, was paid a lot of money to transfer to Texas Tech. Turns out he's been gambling for years, not just placing bets, but placing bets on his own team even, Andy. Now, if there's one thing in sports that's been a cardinal rule, you don't gamble, and you especially don't gamble on your own sport, and you really, really don't bet on your own team. Correct?
No. I don't think you're 100% correct. It has, look, DraftKings, BetESPN, Underdog, right? I could keep going. Prize Picks. There's a million ways to legally sports gamble now, right? So it's out of the closet and sort of front and center without everyone sort of nod winking like, well, sports gambling, it's just an added bonus to the game. No, it's not. It's at the epicenter of sports. So you have to recognize that. The only disagreement I have with you is, you know, I don't have a problem if you're legally betting on not your team, off limits. You can't bet on your team. I mean, come on. Even if you're, well, I bet on them favorably, don't care. That you can't be gambling. By the way, this young man has a problem. But I don't have a problem if, you know, he's in the Big Ten and he bets on Penn State, Maryland. I don't, because it's legal and it's a lot. And like, well, the Indiana's, when he was at Indiana, well, they're playing Penn State this year. Don't care. Don't care. It's legal and allowed. I think the line for me, and this is a morality clause, I want to call it. Like, it's how do you view it? What is the lens you're looking through? You know, we're a couple of old people, right? We remember the Pete Rose, the lifetime ban, et cetera, et cetera. We have been shaped by that. I felt the same way back then. I was like, well, Pete, if you're betting on baseball, you got a problem. Just don't bet on the Reds. So in this case, now that it is out and legal, my inherent difficulty and struggles are, you know, I mean, you bet 40 times when you were in Indiana on Indiana. And it's his lawyers were argued, you know, have argued that, well, he had a problem, but he was betting on a favorable outcome. Well, the outcome's not the problem. It's the fact that he's betting on a team that he's a part of. And, you know, and you can't say he's been to, you know, he's trying to fix the problem. Has it been fixed? We don't know, but morality clause comes into play here big time, Jimmy, just in from the chair that I sit in. And I think it's, where is your morality stance? You know, I don't have a problem with sports gambling. I don't know. We haven't even talked about if you have a problem with sports gambling. It's legal and it's out in the open now. So, but I just think my line is, where's your line, right? Like some people, if you have a problem with sports gambling, I respect that. I understand that. I do not. Where is your line? My line is, you can't be betting on your team. I don't care about the outcome. The outcome to me is irrelevant. If you're betting on a team that you are a member of, that's where it crosses a line for me.
Andy, as you were speaking, my reaction is like fluctuating back and forth with everything you're, because everything you're saying is logical.
Morality clause, right?
However, in some ways, I'm shocked by your take. Now, you and I usually talk about everything we're going to say on the show.
Right.
We didn't today, and I'm kind of glad because it's catching me. You caught me a bit off guard with your reaction, and I'm trying to get my thoughts together to counter it. Because it, as much as I want to say, "Oh my goodness, are you wrong, Andy?" This is not so much a right and wrong. It's
correct.
Where is that line drawn? And I think you, me, the world draws the line beyond that point where you're betting on your own team. Okay. I think the whole world is in agreement. That's gone too far. Where I have an issue, more so than you, and my line is probably a little further over than yours is. First of all, you know, within sports everywhere, but also in college, I'm not sure exactly how it's worded, but you can't bet on college sports. I mean, just a couple of years ago, an Iowa player, football player, he bet less than $100 on Iowa women's basketball with Caitlin Clark, and he never played another down of college football again. Correct. Because of the rules.
Yes.
So the rules, I feel like in sports, were set very strict and have been for over 100 years. You mentioned Pete Rose, which older guys like you and I lived through it. But
correct,
there's been other betting scandals,
correct,
in college basketball in the 50s. The Chicago Black Sox in 1919, okay? It was, this is it, boom, you know, you're gone forever. That's it. Shoeless Joe Jackson, okay? And that's the way sports has always been. So now, you know, fast forward to Sorsby, who, he's crossed the line no matter where you set the line.
Correct. He has crossed lines.
And, you know, but we have a situation here where in any other sport, in any other era, including college football, you were gone. You were gone a lot sooner than with an infraction less egregious than Brendan Sorsby's. And now he's going to miss a game or two against Abilene Christian. That's it.
Yeah. So when I talk about a morality clause, right, and then there's, you know, the rules and regulations. I'm sharing an empathetic morality clause. Like, okay, so if you're, say you're this young man and you have a gambling problem and you're not supposed to bet on college sports, right? You're not supposed to. It's not like there isn't a dozen other options for you to feed your addiction on. So at its core, he has crossed the line where there is a punishment that needs to match that. His actions need to have consequences. Two games is not a consequence. Yes, he could be working on it and getting better. Yes, he deserves a second chance and he should be rehabilitated and be given a chance to step back into the arena and prove himself. It shouldn't be without
repercussions.
Something to hold him accountable for what he did. He's not being held accountable for his actions. A slap on the wrist is not accountability. A slap on the wrist is a PR stunt. Let's call that what it is. It's PR. That is not accountability. And I'm not saying ban this young man for life for playing college football and having an opportunity to advance himself as a professional quarterback. No, but you can't tell me that, good gracious, Jimmy, he bet $90,000. Right, there's more money involved today. He bet 40 times on his own team. How many other times was he betting beyond that? You can't tell me he is even close to being recovered. Recovery from something like this is a lifelong journey, right? Ask Art Schliester at Ohio State, right? It's a lifelong journey. Recovery is a lifelong journey. And whether you're 46, 26, it doesn't matter. It's a lifelong journey. And it doesn't happen in a two-game suspension in an offseason, right? You're not actually showing that you're making progress. Only time can do that. So you need an accountability here that matches how far he went across the line, right? Like we talked about lines. Well, it doesn't matter where your line, Jimmy, is. He crossed it. He not only crossed it, he obviously didn't care about it because he went a mile across the line.
He trampled the line.
Yeah.
And Andy, and it feels like you're more empathetic to him than I am, okay? And you're probably a nicer person than I am, so that's that's logical that you'd feel that way. We're up against the end of the segment, but okay, to just prep you, when we come back, Andy, I'm going to make you, like I love to do, I'm going to make you the czar of college sports. So you are going to decide what the punishment should be when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter two of our show. Andy, we're talking about Brendan Sorsby, and you surprised me a bit in segment number one, being, I think, more sympathetic to Brendan Sorsby than I would be, and also where you would draw the line on gambling is different than where I would set it.
Right.
But here we have a situation, and you pointed out, I think rightfully so, this young man, he has a gambling addiction, and he needs to recover from this. So the question becomes, I think we both agree, there's got to be repercussions to this. There's got to be punishment.
Accountability.
Two games against Abilene Christian and Oregon State is not accountability.
Not accountability.
Andy, you are the czar in charge of college sports. You can mete out the punishment and no one gets to question you. What should the punishment be?
2026 college football season, I'm sorry, young man, you are not participating this year. However, having said that, which, you know, if, depending on where your line is, that could be viewed as a harsh one. However, I am not going to, if I was making the accountability rule, and there are legal issues and I'm not a lawyer, but by the common sense rule of court of law, let's go this way. You can't play this year. That's it. And you need to continue to rehabilitate yourself in some way, shape, or form. The only accountability on the back end is you are welcome back when the first day after Texas Tech season, 2026 season is over. You're welcome back. I would like to just see what you have been doing to help yourself over the next, over this past season while you were not allowed to play the game. There are no markers in place that you have to hit. We are going to forgive you because everyone deserves to be forgiven and trust you on your rehab journey. So that at that point you say, there's no, you need to be done this. You need to have checked this box. You need to have done, no, just show me what you've been doing. Come back and your actions going forward show everybody else and the world whether or not you're taking this seriously or not. But we are going to give you a second chance, and we are going to give you a kind of a carte blanche second chance. That's what I feel. Look, you say you admit you have a problem. You understand now that you have a problem. You've been working on going through rehab. Just because you did, 20 days of rehab or 30 days of rehab for gambling addiction, guess what? When you get out of that and you're done with that, guess what it is? You're starting at day one. You're not anywhere. You have to start somewhere. What did you do? Where have you been going? How have you been helping yourself? Good for you, young man. Day one, midnight, 12:01 a.m., the day after Texas Tech's 2026 season has officially ended, you are again a Texas Tech football player and can be the quarterback for their football team. That is where I view you. Say you put me in the chair, that would be my ruling.
Andy, I see where you're going with that, and I liked how you framed it. I think one of the things, and again, this is going by the history of sports, not college sports, not college football, but sports, has been the one thing you do not do is gambling, okay? That's the huge no-no. And essentially, the way that has been enforced has been making the penalty so great,
correct,
that you don't dare cross the line for fear of the penalty, okay? So the ability, I'm kind of caught between the 1 year suspension that you talk about and the lifetime ban. Now, where I appreciate what you're saying with the 1 year ban is
one season.
His lawyers have, the way they presented this was he's sick, he's got this addiction, and the NCAA, you're not trying to help him. You're punishing him. You're punishing him for his disease. Now, if we take away all of the hypocrisy, which, by the way, is the general consensus performance of everybody. Everybody's hypocritical in all of this.
Right, right.
But if we truly, authentically want to help the young man, are we helping him by saying, oh, you went to rehab for a week, and now we're going to throw you right back into the sports world, which is the environment that led you down this path? Are we really doing the best for him? Or would be doing the best, as you pointed out, you know what? You still have a life here. You still have something to look forward to. However, fixing this addiction is not a one day, one week, one month. As you pointed out, it's probably a lifetime thing.
It's a lifetime journey.
But to battle this, would he not, he individually, be best served to step away from the game? Step away from the game, whether it's, as you point out, right after the season. I keep using the phrase 1 year, but either way, if you're gone from 9 to 12 months with the simple task or not so simple task of rehabilitating yourself, that's your focus. Not being the quarterback of a big time college sports team, but to take care of yourself. Is that not the best answer for the young man?
Yeah, I think it is. I think because it's such a long journey, I think a lifetime ban is cruel and unusual punishment. I do. And I don't think it shows any grace. I don't think it shows any empathy. I also believe, and this is a micro thing, let him continue to be with his team and work out over the summer. The day their season officially starts and they go to camp, you can't show up and be there. The day their season ends, you can show up again and be there. That actually is handing the accountability for this back to him. Right? Like, okay, you want to help yourself, sir. We're going to do that. He's almost screaming out, I need you to help me. And everybody else thinks they're greatly positioned to do it, right? Like 2 games, 4 games, lifetime ban. There's, right? That's not the way you do it. You have to make his punishment and accountability somewhat fit what he has done and how he has gone wrong. But also don't make it part of what he carries around the rest of his life, right? You can't make him carry it around the rest of his life.
Andy, let's take a look at the rest of the world, okay, sure. And how they react to this and what they should be doing. Now, the NCAA gets criticized so often, and even after this ruling, I heard people complaining about the NCAA. Well, they did their job, okay? They said he should be suspended, so don't blame the NCAA for this, but there's a lot of other people involved. Let's start with Texas Tech itself, the school, the program, the athletic department, the president of the university. What should their role be in this? Should they be the ones saying, hey, he should be allowed to play and fighting for that? Or should they have treated this whole situation differently?
So I think these massive corporations that are the universities have so many layers that you have to peel back on an onion. I'm not going to say what I think Texas Tech should have done. I still feel like Brendan Sorsby, the person, is lost in Brendan Sorsby, the quarterback. Does that make sense? Like everyone that, the Texas Tech is not going to look at Brendan Sorsby as, okay, this guy is broken and has some struggles that he's dealing with, right? They look at him as the guy they paid a bunch of money to be their quarterback. So they're not very objective, right? Follow the money. Their money is in him.
Hold on a second. Now, I've always talked about the fact that if you're the Texas Tech coach, your job is on the line. Your job is to win games. And his feeling has to be, hey, having Brendan Sorsby on my team as my quarterback is going to help me do my job, okay?
Yep.
But there's other people here. The president of the university, the board, regents or directors or whatever they're called at Texas Tech. Shouldn't they be stepping in saying, hey, wait a minute. We're an institution of higher learning.
Let them go to
class. As much as we want our football team to win and be proud of them, you know, there's an old ball coach who used to use the expression success with honor. And isn't there a higher calling at a college university than just doing what wins you the most football games?
You would hope so. What is the reality, Jimmy? I'm going to surprise you again. Here's one thing I'll say that I surprise. I think the school president, I think the school's head football coach, and I think the school's athletic director should be having a meeting/meetings and having good, honest discussions with his therapist or therapy groups in related to his gambling addiction to find out where, what is going on with Brendan behind the curtain, not, you know, well, he went to rehab for a week or whatever. What is going on and what would be best for him? Find that out first and then start deciding what you might want to do. Because you're going to get the most transparent and honest ability to make an honest assessment for the person, both Brendan the person and Brendan the quarterback, from those that are trying to help him the most. That's his therapy group or therapist. So I think they should be meeting with him with that.
And I don't think that that's being done, Andy. And
I don't,
you know, there's, I'm not an expert on this either, like you mentioned. However, 1 week, 2 weeks in rehab, he's not cured. He's not fixed.
Guess what?
He's
not going to be cured. It's an addiction.
But he could conceivably over time get it under control. Absolutely. And that amount of time is not 2 weeks.
Not 2 weeks. Yes, it is.
All right, Andy, let's get ready for Ask Andy, which is coming up next.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three, which means it's time for your questions and we ask Andy. Andy, I know this is your favorite segment, so let's get right to it. Let's start with Mike from Baltimore. I like this. Mike, I think he's done this before. He then puts in parentheses, born in Marion Heights, which is not too far from my neck of the woods. So, Mike, always great to hear from you. Mike says, Andy, a couple weeks ago, you referred to the Penn State non-conference schedule as tragic.
Tragic.
Do you think the Big Ten should require its teams to play at least one Power Four school in their non-conference schedule? And if they did, what team would you like to see Penn State play? Jim, I'm a longtime listener to KSN and love the show. You know what, Mike? Thank you very much. We never tire of hearing those compliments, Andy, do we? All right, so Andy, a tragic non-conference schedule?
I don't think so. I don't think the conference should step in and start making demands on how its teams try and shape themselves best for a playoff run. They already have to, I think they already have enough responsibility and accountability to each of those teams on how they handle this power conference schedule, right? Since it's 17 teams and it's huge and you have to move teams in and out and make it fit in, you know, you have to squeeze the sausage into the casing and because they can't play everybody. So I think they have enough responsibility on that front. I think it's safe to let them say, let the schools be held accountable for how they set their non-conference schedule. I really do. I don't think they need to be stepping in there. However, I do like Mike from Baltimore, originally from up in the northern parts of central northeastern PA. I do like his question of if they were to do that, who would I like to see Penn State play once, maybe twice, do a double schedule, home and home? I did like the Auburn series. I do have a school in mind.
Go ahead.
I would like to see Penn State play Texas.
Ooh, love
see?
That.
Yeah, like I think a home and home are good. A game in Austin, a game in State College. Let's figure it out.
You know, here I'm a little bit different than you in the response to Mike's question about being required to schedule another Power Four team. Again, I'm not sure the Big Ten alone should do that. And I think it should be one of those where there can be an imbalance in scheduling. For years, we had the Big Ten complaining about the Southeast Conference only playing 8 conference games versus the 9 that the Big Ten does. Peer pressure has now created a situation where the Southeast Conference is going to play 9 conference games. I think it should be mutually agreed upon with all 4 of the Power Four conferences that, you know, we don't want someone getting away with playing cupcakes all the time, because it creates even more imbalance to schedules that are imbalanced. But in my mind, and I'm speaking now as a fan, Andy, you mentioned you like Penn State Auburn. So did I. You'd like to see Penn State Texas. So would I.
Right.
But wouldn't you want to see a lot of these other games also? Wouldn't you like to see Michigan play Clemson? Wouldn't you like to see Florida State play Alabama, which we did? Wouldn't you like to see more of these games?
No.
No.
No, I wouldn't. And here's the reason why. I think this is okay. So I'm a college football fan too. I don't want that much packed into too tight of a window. I won't be able to absorb it all. It's kind of selfish, but it's, you know, I mean, there's already enough on my plate once the conferences get going. I don't say enough on my plate. I say that in a good way. Like, you have to kind of pick and choose sometimes. Now, I'm going 3-4 devices and multi-screens now, so I can kind of like,
I know you're an addict, Andy.
I'll be honest with you, all of our fans out there and you listeners. I can be a noon to midnight guy every Saturday without hesitation or purpose of evasion. Not even second thoughts. Noon to midnight, I could do that just fine.
Andy, here's the thing, and I don't even need, you know, Georgia versus Ohio State, you know, the elite of each conference. Just playing a different team has a fighting chance when they come into town. So all of what I find fascinating, Andy, is how big these games are when Penn State plays an out-of-conference team with a pulse. West Virginia was a big deal to see. Auburn hasn't been a power in the Southeast Conference for years, but it was interesting to see. If we go back years, I remember when Oregon State came to Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun to see.
Good running backs they had on that team, didn't they?
Yes.
They had good running backs. Yeah, on the secondary level, for a Penn State perspective, okay, I went with a highlighter. If you're looking at it at that level, Jimmy, I kind of like that. How about Boston College? How about Syracuse? Maybe throw NC State in there. You see where I'm going. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I loved what you brought up, NC State, as an example. You know, BC, Syracuse, there's the old tradition history of playing those teams. There's the history, and that's a reason for it. But you bring up NC State. Penn State has played them in the past. But that would be interesting because they never get to see NC State. In my head, I was trying to think, okay, what's a team, you know, middle of the conference, but in my head popped North Carolina. If Penn State played North Carolina, people would be really interested in seeing that game, Andy.
Yeah.
More than Abilene Christian.
Absolutely. Still tragic, Mike, in Baltimore. Their non-conference schedule this year is still tragic.
And I am in 1,000% agreement with you, Andy. All right, let's go to our old friend Brad in Percocet, who says, what with Matt Campbell's Penn State time? What will Penn State's time be known for? And what was James Franklin's known for? Everyone talks about Franklin being a great recruiter, but his classes averaged around 15th, yet his teams typically finished higher than that. So was he a better coach? Lastly, will Matt Campbell be known as a better coach or recruiter? Last question. What are your thoughts on Brendan Sorsby being eligible? Let's forget that last question. Yeah. We've been dealing with that. Let's hear the other stuff. What's Matt Campbell going to be known for after his time at Penn State? What about James Franklin?
Matt Campbell will be known as in the Penn State circle, in their fan base, right? He'll be known as the guy who restored, not to its full capacity, because that's impossible, was the original, not to the OG, but he restored the premise of to Penn State as a blue blood of that element of success with honor that you referenced earlier that is so important and is a very niche part of the Penn State program. That's just my two cents off the top of my head. James Franklin is going to be known as a coach who won a lot of games without winning. Right? Does that kind of make sense? Like, I think that's the vibe I get. The more or less like, hey, he's a guy that won a lot of games and he didn't really win anything per se. And go ahead.
Now, I was just going to say, I don't think I was speaking earlier this week on the show with Dustin Schutte, kind of an outsider to Penn State. And as an outsider, he made very casual reference to, James Franklin being remembered more fondly for what he did, the games he won in a couple years when time passes a little bit. I'm not sure, Andy, that he will ever get past how this last year happened and he left, because he did it in such a way where he's still, taking shots at Penn State.
He will continue to do that, by the way.
Yes, he will. And there's a, thin skin type of nature to him that I think causes this. And I don't think that will soon be forgotten. Now, I think if Penn State fans were to be fair to James Franklin, I think James Franklin should be remembered more than Bill O'Brien for getting Penn State past the sanction period. And he did it right. He did it in a way I'm not sure another coach could have done. And he did it quickly. And he did it with some undermanned teams. There were years they really James Franklin's teams initially, they overachieved because they were living with the repercussions of the sanctions.
I don't disagree with you. I think Bill O'Brien breathed life into something that was on life support, and that was unexpected, right? Like the way he was able to maneuver that. James made Penn State even relevant. Under early relevant, right? He put them back on the map. Again, he did not win much of anything, but he did a lot of winning. And that's why I think is the easiest way to remember. He never really won anything. He won one Big Ten championship, right? Made it to the college football playoff semifinal. Yes, but that doesn't win you, quote unquote, win you anything. Played in one other Big Ten championship game other than the one they won, right? I'm not even going to talk about the, top 10 record and Michigan, Ohio State. A lot of winning without a lot of measurable winning. That's it. Well, good question, Brad.
And it was, just to follow up, though, with James, I think his wounds were self-inflicted.
Oh, for sure. It was always that way.
Yes. And that's where, a lot of the things that happen, as I've pointed out before on this show, Andy, Ohio State every year had way, way more talent than Penn State did.
Yep.
So, you still hope that your team would win more than one time a decade against them. But I don't think that alone is a fair evaluation. But I think James brought a lot of this on himself.
Yeah, I mean, you want your coach to have a little arrogant edge to him, right? You don't mind a little arrogance. But you also want your coach to understand what his shortcomings are and that there's an elephant in the room if there's an elephant in the room. And talk about the elephant in the room if there's an elephant in the room. You know what I mean? Don't be ignorantly arrogant.
Yes. How about a little self-awareness? All right, Andy, that's it for quarter number three. One more quarter to go. Stick with us.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy. I'm Jim. Andy, you pointed out we only got to two questions in the Ask Andy segment. I don't look at that as a failure, Andy. I look at it as there being two really good questions.
They were both very engaging questions. Engaging. That's what I look for.
Yes.
Does your question Mike and make Brad, me think and is engaging? Yeah.
Kudos to both of you for the questions. All right. Let's get back to Brendan Sorsby and kind of where I wanted.
One final quarter of it, Jimmy. Then we can call ourselves done. But yeah, okay. I've enjoyed talking about this with you.
Well, there's a lot of things, and Andy, you surprised me a little bit and made me think a little bit with comments about it. But now we're kind of moving forward to the other repercussions, the other folks involved, and there's a lot of them. A lot of people are putting their self-righteous two cents in, and to me it's all very performative. When non-Big 12 teams stand on their soapbox and say, well, we're not going to play Texas Tech. Well, you weren't scheduled to play them anyway, and you have no need to play them. They're not in your conference, so it's meaningless. Kirby Smart, I don't care if you say Georgia's not going to play Texas Tech.
Yeah, I say now, shut your pie hole.
Yes.
That's just me. Sorry, but I'm like, if you're not playing them, shut up.
Right.
I don't care about what you think. What you think is relevant to you. I don't care about your opinion.
It's like me, Andy, saying, you know what? If I had a football team, I wouldn't play them. Well, Kirby, I don't even have a team.
And I'm a big Kirby fan. Kirby, you have no stake in this. You're not playing them, right? If you're not playing them and don't have a stake, shut your pie hole.
Well, now, but it becomes the question, you know, I asked you about if you're the Texas Tech administration, how should be handling this? And I would think that there's a bigger goal to a university than, you know, making sure the star quarterback is playing. You know, you should have loftier goals than that. And my thinking is, because we see this throughout the country, you know, everybody is critical of the decision that Sorsby's going to play. And I think everyone is stating, gee, if it were my team. Well, let me ask that question. Really, do you think how would most teams, most schools, most programs react to this? I read a comment that said LSU was very interested in getting the kid. They lost out to Texas Tech. And the thinking was, what would Lane Kiffin have done? Do you think LSU would have been any different than Texas Tech? I'm not sure. I'm not going to make that judgment, but I'll ask you, Andy, about the rest of the country. Would most schools, any schools, half the schools, how many schools would be saying, you know what? We're going to make the decision not to play the kid.
Less than 10%.
Really?
We're going to not pursue them. Yeah, because there was no precedent in place. You know, you had to have known about, you know, sort of like, well, this is, you know, they're not doing their due diligence.
I want to make sure I understand your answer before I go on. I want to make sure I didn't confuse you with the question. My question was essentially, if Ohio State, if Penn State, if Michigan, if Oregon had brought the kid in the way Texas Tech did, what percentage of the schools would say, we don't want him to keep playing?
today, I'm going to hold there. Maybe 20%, go by the 80-20 rule.
So you think most schools would react the same way Texas Tech has?
Yeah, they're going to want somebody else to make the decision for them. That way they don't have to stand up and be, you know, be heard
accountable.
Yeah. I mean, here's an opportunity for Texas Tech, and it just happens to be them. But you asked me about any other school. You put your mission, your vision, what we are as a university, who we are, what are our core values, what do we believe in? They all have that stuff, right? It's all on their websites, and you can find out what Michigan's about, what yada, yada. Well, here's an opportunity to be a reflection of that. Do your actions reflect who you say you are? Or is who you say you are just words on a website, right? Look at your core values and who you identify yourself and what you think you are as Texas Tech University. In this difficult situation, are your actions a reflection of this value? Now, we know that's not. There's so much money involved, it becomes jaded. So they're going to want anybody else to make the decision for them. And I still say, that's why I say 80% of them would be like, yeah, we're going to keep them and let somebody else make the decision, which I don't like it, but I don't think it's a wrong one. I don't think it's the wrong decision. Why put yourself out on the island to a degree when somebody's not going to require you to do that?
You know, Andy, going forward, the common comment we're seeing is the NCAA is going to try to counter the injunction. But the common thought is, oh, it takes like 7 months for that to happen. It wouldn't happen till after the season. I'm not so sure that's going to be the case. I think people, they change the standards when public opinion is so strong one way or the other. Public opinion is so strong in this situation, it would not surprise me if something happens and he's ruled ineligible. But
I feel strongly this is going to end up in court again before.
And before if it does,
season starts. Yeah.
I think courts often, they bow to public opinion. Okay. It happens.
I can see that, but I'm just saying there's going to be a second level of verification of this decision. Either way it goes, there's going to be a second level of legal verification.
If I had to bet, I would bet that he's not going to play this year. I would bet he'd be rule ineligible, or Texas Tech feels so much pressure, they will rule him ineligible. But my question, Andy, is who could or should act? The Big 12 talks about not playing Texas Tech. The playoff committee, should they say, you know what, Texas Tech is not going to qualify for the playoffs. That's our decision.
Stay out of it till a final decision is reached and the timing is right for your voice to be heard, right? College football playoff, just wait and let it play out a little bit more. This is just one step. It has not been finalized, right? So wait until you have a decision and there is a time period that makes you say something. So what do I think personally? I think the young man should help himself. And if step away, actually understand that you have a very serious, serious problem and addiction. Go fix yourself and say, football's not my priority. What Brendan Sorsby's saying to me is I am not a priority to me.
You know, Andy, you beat me to the punch there, because my next question was going to be, how about Sorsby himself? And how about this thought? I don't think Sorsby is necessarily doing himself a favor by playing this year. He will be keeping the story in the news, and it's not going to be a good story for him, okay? He's going to be the villain of all villains in college football this year. I could see, and if I were even advising the kid, as a consultant, I would say, you know what, Brendan, how about this as an option? I'm going to voluntarily choose to step away for a season. I'm going to make that decision. I love football. I want so badly to play, But I know I've got a bigger issue than football. I'm going to spend this season working on myself, getting past my problem, making myself a better person. I'm going to work on that. That's going to be my goal, my incentive. And if I do that, you know what? I think that will make me a more attractive draft pick next year in the NFL draft. How about that as a thought, Andy?
He wants to win long-term in life and as, you know, a person and an athlete, step away. Because that,
yes,
and take it serious. And because right now, being a quarterback is the number one priority in his life. You step away. You want to win the, you know, he's a very high-profile public figure. You want to win the empathy. He's a very good quarterback, too. He's definitely an NFL prospect, right, Jimmy? Let's just get that out of the way. You want to have people understand who you are, because believe me, we know better than most, and a lot of people know, the NFL is going to test the limits of his waters in terms of has he helped himself and started going down a path that is healthier for him, right? There's still going to be challenges, but is he on a healthy path, right? Step away and take 4 or 5 months. You're not going to be any worse of a quarterback. You still can make a ton of NIL money because you're an NFL prospect. That's not going to change in 6 months. Step away, help yourself, and win. It's a win-win.
Right. That's my point. And does that not make him more attractive to an NFL team to say, you know what? On the character question, I, you know, got beyond my demons here. I took it seriously. I'm not going to fall back into the same, trap. I've spent all this time trying to make myself better. So when they sit down and interview you, and you know, his biggest questions will be not what he's doing on the field, but how he performs off the field when it comes time for the NFL.
I think on the surface, it can help him. But I think at the end of the day, the NFL's a business. It's a cutthroat business, Jimmy. They're going to dig deep and try and cut him and figure out, is he really, does he have a good solid cast on his problem? Or did he just put a Band-Aid on it? They have to do that as a cutthroat business. On the surface, I 100% agree with you. Yeah, of course it's going to help them, help him as it relates to the picture of them. But after that initial sort of like, yeah, you know, there's a lot to like about this kid. They still got to cut him. They still got to dig deep and know, is this on solid ground or is it just a Band-Aid?
Right. And you know, quite candidly, both for appearance sake and for the reality of it, I think his best interests would be served if he didn't play. And I know that's probably would be one of the hardest things in the world for him to do. He loves football, but stepping
gotta
away.
Gotta love yourself more. Gotta love yourself more.
Andy, that's going to be our final note here. Thank you, Andy. Thank all of you for tuning in. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.